This recording is labeled explicit, but your audience's only parental discretion is advised.
Excuse me, ma'am. What we have here, little yellow sister, is a magnificent specimen of pure Alabama black snake, but ain't too goddamn buku.
Bitch alert! Bitch alert! Bitch alert! Attention, all you bitches! Listen up. Dr. Moe is on the air.
Hi, this is Mistress Sasha. And when I'm not laying naked in my satin sheets, I'm listening to Dr. Moe on the Danger Zone.
Hello, bitches. This is Dr. Moe. Welcome to the Danger Zone.
What if no one listened to the radio? No one listened to the radio. You'd be just another guy, no one would ever know. Then I don't think I would like you. I don't think I could like you at all. I don't think I could like you at all.
Don, I was back on the air after saying something stupid about the Rutgers female basketball team. And recently he's been in the news for saying something else, for basically saying, you know, asking a question about an NBA player who was in trouble with the law in some shape. And Imus said, well, is he black? Well, there you go. I mean, what do we do with that, Dr. Boyce?
Well, you know, in any controversial comment, you have to consider the context and the character of the commentator. And when you talk about someone like Imus, he doesn't have a whole lot of credibility with the black community. And I'm not going to doubt that Imus wasn't trying to say something else with, you know, with his comment. But the fact that he called Pac-Man Jones, or either he or a sidekick referred to Pac-Man Jones as, you know, Blankhead Jones, and the word rhymes with prick, you know, that says that, that makes it even harder to believe that he was actually trying to say something in support of Pac-Man Jones, or that was, you know, not you know, degrading or critical, you know, of Pac-Man. So, you know, don't get me wrong, Pac-Man Jones is an idiot. And I think that if he had just said Pac-Man's an idiot, a lot of people wouldn't have had a problem with that. But when you're linking Pac-Man Jones to all black men in America, that's when you're going to get in trouble. So, I think that Imus, you know, he could have been well-intended, but he didn't show it very well. And honestly, I don't believe that he was trying to say anything favorable about black men, you know, in his comment. And what's also interesting about his comment is that, you know, there are people in this country that are such apologists when it comes to racism that Fox and the right wing, they can say almost anything they want about black people, and there will always be a gang of conservatives there to try to explain it away, and even some black people there to support their bullcrap explanations. My question is, what do they have to say about us? What do they have to say about you before we say, no, that there's no excuse. That's just not acceptable. You know, you talk about with Obama, they have made jokes about killing him. They've called his wife a baby's mama. Bill O'Reilly invited his wife to a lynching party. When do we draw the line?
And so That's the question. I mean, who's responsible for holding these guys responsible? I mean, how do we? They seem to have free reign there.
Well, you know, and that's part of that whole, you know, racial inequality thing that I mentioned earlier. I mean, we know that we live in a country where a black commentator would probably have not gotten past that first comment. He would have been fired by then. So you know, what I'm seeing though is that there are, you know, forces on the internet, you know, God bless them, that are putting together campaigns to fight back. You know, we had started our campaign on Your Black World. There were other websites, colorofchange.org, moveon.org, and others that are now starting to take a stand against Bill O'Reilly and Fox News. And I think that that's going to make a difference, because what I want to see at the end of the day is not so much that Fox goes out of business. You know, I'm not into, you know, killing someone's right to freedom of speech or all that other stuff, but I want to see them marginalized. I want to see people to understand clearly that this is not mainstream legitimized news. These are not normal Americans. These are extremist people who have extreme views, and they live over there with the cults and everything else. So exactly what they did to the Great Trinity United Church of Christ, which is a highly respected church in Black America, probably one of the most respected churches in the country. I what they did to Trinity, I want to see people do that to Fox News, and I do believe that Americans working together can accomplish that.
Now, some people want Barack Obama dead. Why are the death threats personal to you?
Why is that personal? Well, it's personal to me because I get death threats all the time. You know, when Liz Trotter made that joke about, you know, killing Obama if she could, that hit home with me because just the day before I had gotten an email, or actually a phone call from the chief of campus police, and he offered additional police protection for me because he said, we've been getting lots and lots of death threats coming into the university for you and for the chancellor. So, you know, Liz Trotter has the fortune of not having to deal with real threats on your life, but there are some people who don't. And so if I'm getting those kinds of death threats, and I'm just a regular guy, you know, few people know who I am, but I'm not like Barack Obama. You know, I can't imagine what Obama and his family must go through. I mean, they're going to have to deal with this for a long time. So it was very personal to me, and just the idea that anybody on a legitimate news network would first of all compare a black man or a black presidential candidate to the most notorious terrorist in the world, which he did. Remember, she said Osama, I mean Obama, and then joke that they would kill him if they could. Can you imagine Dan Rather doing that in 1988? It wouldn't happen.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
So when it comes to Barack Obama and his perspective on foreign affairs, the Republicans are trying to get him on that. Obama's been focusing on doing a lot of faith-based stuff, going to religious groups and so on. I mean, can Obama hold up on foreign policy? Are John McCain's concerns and claims valid?
What is claims that Obama's not experienced enough to handle foreign policy?
Right. In other words, he can't do it. He's going to screw it up.
No, I think that McCain, by continuing what Bush has been doing, I mean, we don't know if Obama will screw up, but we know that if McCain replicates Bush, then he's definitely going to screw up because Bush has screwed up. I think that, we pretty much know what McCain is going to do and how he's going to proceed. And I'm a fan of the idea of trying something different because we can't do much worse than what we've been doing for the past several years. I think that this idea that we are, it's interesting because if you look at Bill O'Reilly and what I was saying earlier about him sort of fighting every battle and feeling that he's invincible and he can take on anybody in the world at any time, and, you know, that attitude really goes all the way up to the White House. You know, we do have cowboys in the White House who feel that our military is the greatest and the most awesome in the world, which it is. It's very powerful, but we don't have unlimited resources. We can't continuously dump almost every penny of our budget into the military to protect ourselves from all the people who hate us. At some point, we've got to come out from behind the barricades and actually negotiate and make ourselves a partner in world progress. And one thing I noticed, I'll give you an example. When I was over teaching in China 3 years ago, my Chinese students were interesting because there's a culture there in the classroom that says the teacher speaks, you don't speak back. And so if you ask them their opinion about anything from the weather to how the chicken tastes, they're very hesitant to give you their opinion. But when I said, what do you think about President Bush? That was the one topic I remember where they immediately all had instant opinions. You know, and so the fact is that was reflective of the fact that we are hated throughout the world. You just can't do foreign policy that way.
Can Obama change that? Does he have what it takes to fix it?
Absolutely. When I've done interviews with international networks, I can tell that there is a lot of enthusiasm for Obama's campaign. The fact that he has a brown face is going to help him. The fact that he has ties to the Muslim community, you know, through his father, et cetera, would signal to some that he may be more sympathetic to understanding that Islam doesn't mean you grow up wanting to be a terrorist. The fact that he has mentioned that he wants to sit down and negotiate with, or to actually talk to some of our enemies and work some things out, I think has been well received. But what's interesting though about Obama though is that to some extent it's not about want to do. It's really what you actually do. And every day I hear Obama speak, he sounds more and more like someone who will simply be a cog in a big wheel, a big machine that the American government has become. You know, when he gave, for example, when he went and gave sort of unconditional support to all of the policies, of Israel, that really bothered me, because some of the things that Israel does to the rest of the Middle East is wrong, and I don't care what anybody says about it.
Does he need that, though? I mean, isn't that something he absolutely has to have?
What, the backing of the Jewish community? Or
the Jewish community, because, I mean, the Republicans are putting it out there like this. The Democrats don't have Israel's security in mind, and so if you don't, I mean, can he really get to that White House without the Jews? They're a big part of the Democratic vote.
No, you can't go anywhere without the Jews. I mean, the Jewish community has a lot of power, and I think that the Jewish community has earned their respect. You know, you can think what you want about the Jews or the Jewish culture or Jewish policies, but guess what? They've got the power to impose their will, and that's what I want the black community to have power. You know, and so I don't think Obama can get elected without giving unconditional support to Israel, but the truth is that, you know, what's the point in getting elected if you're really not going to change anything? I really don't believe that all the change that Obama has promised is really going to be delivered. And I do believe firmly that Obama is deceiving someone. The question is he deceiving black people? Is he deceiving all the young voters who got him the nomination? Or is he deceiving all the conservatives that he's catering to right now? I think that's really yet to be determined.
What about reparations? What would that look like if that were to somehow come on the plate for us to discuss as a nation? What could that look like?
You know, I have to sit and really think on that. I think that it would be really hard to implement reparations. I just think that there would be so many fuzzy lines that it would just really be difficult to do. I'm more in favor of the idea of making a deliberate effort to institute policies that open more doors in the black community. Okay, and then there are some policies that you can have that might be based on race. Of course, they would get a lot of opposition, but I think in general, I think reaching to the communities and allowing, say, a panel of experts, from the black community, and some from the non-black community to come together and really decide, how are we going to do this? I think that that could lead to some change. I think that if the government was willing to commit, say, a few billion dollars toward these policies, I think it could be effective. So I think I'm more of a fan of that than the idea of, say, sending everyone a check. I that just doesn't make much sense to me.
Yeah, I was thinking possibly maybe like a free college education, maybe 2 years at least for kids identified. I don't know. I mean, it could be a lot of things, but, there should be something positive coming out of it, I think.
Absolutely, and I'm a fan of allowing a lot of that to begin with education, and you throw in the free college, but you also throw in some free, free Head Start and programs or kindergarten, activities, et cetera, et cetera. I really, that old song, I Believe the Children Are the Future, how it used to go, that is what I really believe, and I think that if we focus on our kids, I don't care, you could take the most corrupt, hardened, gangbanger, ex-convict that you can find, but there was a time when that horrible person or that tough guy was a sweet little child, and we got to grab that sweet little child before he turns into something that we don't want him to become.
Listen, it's been great talking with you. I hope that you stop by and have another candid conversation with us again about these various things that we're going through. There's a lot I want to talk to you about, and I love what you have to say. What you're sharing with people and educating people. You're at Syracuse University, right?
Yep, sure am.
Okay, you're a professor of finance out there upstate. It's cold up there, isn't it?
Not right now, but for most of the year, yes.
Good. So, what's the problem with all the athletes marrying white women? That's the last question I'm going to ask you, and then you can check more of Dr. Watkins at voicewatkins.com. What's the problem with these NBA athletes marrying white women? What's the deal?
I don't know. I can tell you, there's one guy I know who played for the Chicago Bulls who said, in his opinion, this is one guy's opinion, but he said that He said, you know, he said, when I meet black women, he said, they're always trying to marry me or get my money somehow or tie me in so that I can support her and her family or whatever the case may be. And he said, you know, the white women, they just want to party. They just want to say, I partied with an NBA player and that's it. Now, I don't know if that stereotype is true. I'm not signing off on that, you know, on that belief. But, you know, I know that was his perspective. You know, me personally, I don't, that part of an athlete's life, I just don't really get. You know, it doesn't make sense to me because I, you know, if I were suddenly a woman magnet, I would use that magnet to attract more black women. I wouldn't, you know.
That's what I'm talking
but,
about. Bring the Beyoncés and, you know, bring Coco from SWV. What happened to her? She was hot.
Oh, from SWV. Oh, wow, you were way back on that one.
It's all around. They're still here, baby. It never went anywhere. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know much about SWV now. I'm trying to think who I'm a fan of. I think Beyonce's a nice, pretty lady. Here you go. Here's the most beautiful black woman they've ever had in Hollywood. It was Takara Jones from America's Next Top Model.
Oh,
before,
wow.
Before they made her get all skinny. You know,
really?
I want to see real women. I want to see meat and potato soul food women in Hollywood. I don't like these little anorexic lettuce eating things that they put on the TV screen. That doesn't work for me. Give me
you
a
like
woman.
You like the big girls, huh?
Not big. I'm going to say this, but I'm probably getting in trouble for it. She was as thick and juicy as a porterhouse steak.
Oh,
and you know,
no.
A porterhouse steak. A steak is not fat, right?
Right.
A steak
right.
is thick and juicy,
no,
and that's what
nice.
Takara Jones was to me. So
me
if I get in trouble for saying it, say it again.
It's okay though, because I mean you're absolutely right on in that. Did you see her in the celebrity fit camp or fit club?
Yeah, celebrity fit club. Yeah.
Yeah, she looked great on there, man. I was watching her, man, and every time at the end of the show, you know, they got to spin it around. They were dirty men, but they're giving us all the material that we need. Come on.
Well, you know, that was the only season I watched that show. I'll say that much.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that. Listen, Dr. Boyce Watkins, thank you so much for being on the show. I hope that you come back and talk to us.
I sure will. Thank you for having me. You have a wonderful evening, my man.
Thank you very much. Take care, Dr. Watkins.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. We've been talking to Dr. Boyce Watkins at boycewatkins.com. He is a very interesting gentleman who has committed to fighting the Fox racism. You know, Fox is kind of crazy. We've got to get Dr. Boyce Watkins on the wiki. All right, he's not on the wiki yet. I went over and did a search. I was going to put in an article, but I didn't have time to do some research on the references because Wikipedia, if you don't have the references, they want to boot you. You know what I mean? They just want to get rid of you. So I want to see if we can get some references for Dr. Boyce Watkins. Put him on the wiki. He deserves to be there. He's doing a lot of good work. Again, like I was saying, he's a regular on CNN. He's been on CNN a lot of times. He's been on Good Morning America, which is Channel 7 or Channel ABC, rather. He's been on MSNBC, the cable news channel. He's been on Fox News a few times, NPR radio. He's been in the USA Today newspaper. He's been featured on the Today Show. He's been everywhere, ESPN, CBS Sports, and there are a bunch of shows that I have not mentioned. But Dr. Watkins, a lot of good things going on. He's got some books that he's written. And this is a cool book. He's got a book called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About College and Quick and Dirty Secrets of College Success. Also, his third book is the Parental 411, which is what every parent should know about their child in college. He's got you can get those as a package if you go to his website, boycewatkins.com. You can also have him speak for you. He's a registered speaker. He's got a blog. He has a site called Your Black World. He works at Syracuse. You know, the guy's good and he's smart and he really opens up some perspectives that can help others, figure out some things here. A quote from Dr. Boyce Watkins, he says, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and others gave their lives to put me here. It's up to me to give my life to put others in my position. The crucifixion of Jesus showed us that you are usually punished for doing the right thing, and I accept that. I hope to inspire other black scholars to have the courage to disengage from the petty pseudo-intellectual redundancy of academia and spend more time saving our people. He also says, a very interesting, we have enough PhDs, we need more PhDs. Yeah, people that are going to do stuff. His other book, Financial Lovemaking 101, make sure you know what you're doing when you're merging your assets with somebody you love. You get married, So it's overall very good advice. And it seems as though a lot of that information would help you be more economically savvy and in control of your world. Nothing wrong with that. It's good for everybody to do this. He is absolutely hated, by the way, by Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, those guys who are just bulls. They just come at you with all the stuff, all the crap, too, and he's got to be on there, and they bash him like, answer for the black community. Tell us why you people are like this. I want to know. I don't understand. What's wrong with you guys? Okay, explain to us, Dr. Boyce Watkins. And then Dr. Watkins goes, yeah, first of all, you're a moron, okay? Second of all, we're not even talking about this. Third of all, you're a moron for even bringing this up again. But I'm going to humor you anyway. he kind of steps through it. I think that's great. By the way, John McCain is feeling some combat fatigue. He's out there. He's getting tired. He's been running around. He's getting tired. He's doing a lot of stuff campaigning. He's slipping a little bit. He says stupid things. What does that mean? He is an old man after all, and the question is, can he make it through the campaign? Can he really do it? It was great having Dr. Watkins on. He's a friend of Dr. Cornelius West at, and I'm not sure what school he's at, I think Pennsylvania. He's also, Jesse Jackson says about Dr. Watkins, he is the man. Dr. Watkins, you are the man. You are the man, and there are no other man other than you, Dr. Watkins. I love you. You're great at what you do, and I'm never, ever going to tell you that you're not doing what you're supposed to do, Dr. Watkins, you're a good man. So that's my impression of Jesse Jackson. Do you know this guy was getting death threats from people? I mean, people were emailing him and contacting him and saying, I'm going to kill you. You suck. You ought to be dead. Have you no shame about yourself? How dare you? Who do you think you are? And he has to deal with that. That's kind of crazy. But yet he continues on. And he talks about the things that matter. Like I said, he's got books. He's got a blog. He's made a lot of videos. So you can check him out on YouTube. Also, he's got a lot of videos. And also videos of him on the major networks. Do a search for him at YouTube.com. Just search for Boyce Watkins. You can join his Black Professionals Network if you are a black professional indeed, or a white man looking for some black poontang. I guess you could certainly join the network. It's up to you, but it's available. also, you can join the Syracuse Black and Latino Network, and that's another network based in Syracuse. The National Faculty of Color Network you can join as well. So Dr. Watkins, it was great to have him on. And like I said, he keeps going back to his school once or twice a year, which is very good. And he talks to his people He talks to you about money. He talks to you about love and money. It talks to you about his scholarly objectives. He's got a lot of topics that are really geared to, you know, smarten black people up and give us more of an education and more tools to expand our horizons and really reach out for our potential, which is a good thing. I appreciate that. And I hope Dr. Boyce will be back on the show to cover other topics in depth. I hope to think of our time today as an introductory interview, that we may have additional opportunities to get together and discuss other topics in more depth, more current events, things that are happening right now, and get Dr. Boyce's thoughts on that. But other than that, it's been great having everybody here. Again, you're listening to Dr. Mo here, live interview with Dr. Boyce Watkins, who spent some quality time with us. And we're very excited to have him on the show. We talked about a bunch of things and very, very interesting thoughts from Dr. Watkins. At one point, he even mentioned that Eric Michael Dyson, thought that he may want to withdraw support for Obama. Obama said some stupid things, like on Father's Day, he had mentioned that he had, you know, spoken on Father's Day about fathers in a less than supportive tone, I guess, criticizing more than lauding on this special day. And of course, that was a problem. Good news, by the way. The United States has finally taken Nelson Mandela off of the U.S. terror lists. Can you believe it? Nelson Mandela was on the U.S. terrorism watch list, and he was on that list because he was fighting South Africa's apartheid regime. So the United States put Mandela on the blacklist because he was fighting apartheid in his country. Unbelievable. Well, President Bush is going to sign a bill that's going to remove Mandela off of that list, and the State Department and Homeland Security will waive all restrictions. And of course, we all know Mandela spent 27 years in prison for fighting South Africa's racist regime, but the United States thought that they should have him on their terrorist watch list to make sure he doesn't come over here and try to fight apartheid. We don't need that kind of crap, buddy. Okay? New evidence has been collected in a 1946 lynching case. Look at that. Officials said that they collected items from property in Walden County, Georgia. 1946, a white mob beat and repeatedly shot four black sharecroppers. One victim, Dorothy Malcolm, had her unborn baby cut from her womb. Oh, my goodness. The case was the last documented mass lynching in the United States. So 1946, not so long ago, in the 50s, and we had all the do the twist and all of that, and that's what was going on 4 years before that in Georgia. Think about it. It's really happening. I want to thank you for being on the show. This is Dr. Mo, and you're listening to us at DangerZoneShow.com. You could certainly find us at DangerZoneShow.com or Friday nights, 9 p.m. here at blogtalkradio.com/DangerZoneShow. And Sunday nights, we talk about race in America at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for being here tonight. Good night.